I want people to think that Alzheimer's is the disease that's causing the dementia.
All right, so hi everyone, and welcome to the topic. Today's guest is Tammy Paz Rickey, and I'll tell you a little bit about Tammy. Tammy is the owner, educator, and consultant of Alternatives in Alzheimer's Care, and that's located in Clinton, Massachusetts. And she is also the outpatient community liaison for Westboro Behavioral Hospital. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of bio about Tammy. She is a dementia specialist with over 24 years of experience. She unites her passion, knowledge, and real-life examples to provide the most updated, comprehensive, and inspiring dementia curriculum. So welcome, Tammy, to the
Thank you. I love the title, the topic.
topic. Yes, I love it too. So I'm so happy you're here. I will tell our listeners that you actually presented at my class at Worcester State University a few weeks ago. It was a very exciting class, and it's the unfortunate topic because dementia comes in so many different, I hate to say varieties, but I guess that's it's kind of consistent with how it presents itself. And it affects so many people, but you have such an insane knowledge about this. So I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm just have a gentle conversation about it for our listeners because I think so many people are affected by it. And so, I'm going to ask you, can you define dementia?
Sure. And thank you for having me. I'm really excited because the only way that we're going to bring awareness and decrease stigma of dementia is really to talk about it and to bring it to light. So dementia is actually an acquired syndrome that one can get that has multiple symptoms. There are hundreds of causes of dementia symptoms. So when a doctor says to someone, you have dementia, to me, that's a red flag. The red flag is find out what's causing the dementia. We know that things like memory loss and confusion and disorientation and word finding issues, misplacing things, mood and personality changes, poor judgment and insight, those are all symptoms of dementia. So people get scared. Dementia is that stigmatized term that I'm crazy, I'm insane, something's really wrong with me. But dementia can come from different causes. Some of those causes that people don't understand are actually reversible. I spoke in your class about the fact that you can have a vitamin deficiency, like B12, B1. You can have malnutrition in some form. You can have a brain tumor. There could look like dementia and be simple hearing loss.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's connected actually. Because if you think about hearing loss and the fact that people will just become totally disconnected from their world, it almost appears as though they have dementia. But when in actuality, their hearing is corrected, they have less symptoms of dementia.
And I think that's just amazing. When I first learned of that, I just couldn't I couldn't relate the two, right? So and actually someone actually one of my students gave me a book that a professor at Worcester State University had written about dementia and about these symptoms, and hearing loss was one of the chapters. And I got really concerned, and that's the first thing I said to my husband. I said, you're hard of hearing, you could actually present with dementia. And he went right out and got tested his hearing tested and got hearing aids. But not only that, because he couldn't it, his quality of life was also right. It was also affecting his quality of life. And I really hone in on that because I'm at the age where my mother is elderly, my aunts are elderly, my uncles are elderly, and I'm running into, is is their forgetfulness because of their hearing loss, or, you know, so I really kind of hone into that because that's just such a weird thing for me to somehow grasp.
And I
same
think
as
it's
urinary
also,
tract.
oh yes, go ahead with that.
Yeah, well, same thing as urinary tract infections. And I learned this from you, actually, from watching your YouTube video. That was another symptom that, you know, dementia can present because of untreated urinary tract infection in elderly people,
Absolutely.
actually. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's something called delirium. Delirium
Right.
is that acute confusion that happens. And, you know, a lot of times in our older population where they're dehydrated, especially if they have dementia already and they have poor hygiene practice, that will lead to a urinary tract infection, and which really makes people seem confused. And we know that urinary tract infections can be treatable. And that's the important piece here, is to really get a diagnostic workup if you have concerns. There's something called mild cognitive impairment. And that's really being used as a diagnostic term for physicians when they don't really know what's going on. It's sort of, well, I'm still driving, I'm still working, I do have concerns of my memory. You know, you might notice your loved one becoming very moody, irritable, agitated. But along with that, they forget where they place things. And for you or I to misplace our keys or our phone, we're able to say, okay, let me retrace my steps to find where I might have left them. And for a person with dementia, forgets those steps, forgets where they were, forgets what they ate. You know, they can't recall certain parts of an event. Or, you know, we can go on vacation and forget what day it is. But we can look at a calendar and say, okay, yeah, I know what day it is. For people with dementia, may forget entire experiences of a vacation.
Oh,
so,
geez.
You know, so it depends on where they are, but mild cognitive impairment is usually the early signs where I've got to go get a neuropsychological workup, which is really, they're going to test everything to figure out what's going on. And there's so much, they're becoming very good at diagnosing, you know, through PET scans and blood tests. And there's sort of these three components we look at for diagnosing. And one is definitely genetic. One is our lifestyle too.
Really?
How do we live our life? Do we have diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, all the medical issues that would lead to having a diagnosis of some form of dementia?
Wow.
They've directly linked diabetes with developing Alzheimer's disease. There's actually a third type of diabetes called insulin resistance of the brain, and that can lead to Alzheimer's disease.
Oh my gosh. So our lifestyle is going to catch up to us one way or another.
Yeah.
Oh, that's unnerving as well. Now, you mentioned before the stigma around dementia. Why do you think there is a stigma around dementia? I wouldn't judge a person if they had it, or, you know, or if they had it, I guess you might say.
I think it's, well, there's also different cultural beliefs around dementia too. And I think, you know, when we look at mental illness, there's stigma around mental illness.
True.
People, you know, we don't openly talk about mental illness, and that's a brain issue. And so isn't dementia. And what they used to do with people with dementia, you know, they used to put them in insane asylums. That's where Dr. Alzheimer's actually studied his first patient. And she was 50. She was at the Frankfurt Asylum in Germany. And when she passed, Dr. Alzheimer's and Dr. Kraepelin did an autopsy back then. And that is when they found the plaques and the tangles of the protein beta amyloid That's 1907. So
My
think about how far
gosh.
back they did they actually did an autopsy and found what was causing what we now call Alzheimer's disease. Yet we're not close to getting a cure. We have lots, there's lots of research and we're making some gains, but I don't know if you remember recently, aducanumab was this medication that came out, and they were doing FDA approved it, and we were doing injections. It was going to reverse Alzheimer's, and then it was causing brain bleeds. So they pulled it again. And, that's the thing about these drug trials is that we just don't know when we're going to hit the jackpot. Of the and the brain is so complicated and it's different in everybody. So, you and I could be the same age. We could both be diagnosed with Alzheimer's, yet our journeys are going to be very different.
Why is that?
I think it's because we are all different. We are all unique. Our medical history, our mental health history, our in lifestyle history, the environmental factors, all those things are going to adjust it, our personality, even our personality can make a difference in how we progress.
The other thing that you had talked about in my class, that I'm still reeling from is, I guess it's part of genetics, is that a person with Down syndrome will have dementia. Oh, is it dementia or Alzheimer's?
It's Alzheimer's
Alzheimer's,
disease.
all right. So, and we're going to talk more about that later, but yeah.
Alzheimer's disease, it's that extra Y chromosome, and it's chromosome 21, and they have an extra, and that actually leads to the increase of creation of beta amyloid protein. And having that beta amyloid protein is what causes the disease of Alzheimer's. Every disease. So, yes. So, with people with Down syndrome, they never used to live long enough to see Alzheimer's disease come out. Now, people are living longer with Down syndrome, and there's 100% guarantee that they will have Alzheimer's by the time they're usually late 50s.
That's crazy. That
Yeah.
just I just that really got me. That got me as well. There's so many
Yeah.
things that we talked about. So we'll get more into Alzheimer's later, but also I wanted to ask you, what are the most common types of dementia? Because there's all different types of dementia.
Right. And I guess if people think about it as there are those different causes of dementia, right? Dementia is not the diagnosis. Dementia is the symptom. So when we look at what we actually do formally call major neurocognitive disorder, that's what Alzheimer's is. That's what frontotemporal dementia is. That's what vascular dementia is. That's what Parkinson's, Lewy body. Those are the fatal progressive diseases that cause dementia. If I have a B12 deficiency and I am showing signs of dementia, that is not progressive and fatal. That cause can be reversed by giving me injections of B12 and getting my blood levels to where they need to be. The most prevalent neurocognitive disorder that causes dementia is Alzheimer's disease. And there's actually three ways of getting that. There is older onset Alzheimer's disease, which is what my grandmother had. It's what people in their 80s, 90s develop. And that is related to a gene called APOE4. And we because I know my grandmother had it, I can go out, my mother can go out and get the blood test to know if we have APOE4. I don't want to do that because not everybody who carries the APOE4 gene is going to get full-blown Alzheimer's disease. So, and then there's the young onset. Like people think of Alzheimer's as you get that when you get old. And that's just false. It's not as prevalent as the older onset, but the younger onset is hitting our folks, the baby boomers, you know,
The
we're
40s and
seeing
50s or 50s,
50s, 60s
50s and 60s.
normally. Yeah. And that's known as younger onset. And the thing that does, we do know happens, the younger you get Alzheimer's, the faster it goes, the quicker the
Oh,
progression is.
why is
So
that?
someone, I believe it's because our brains are much faster when we're younger, and it's sort of progressing the disease process quicker. My grandmother, who died in her 80s with this, she was probably diagnosed, probably had the start of it in her 70s. And I think that happens with most neurocognitive disorders, is that the symptoms come along, we go through this denial phase that this is actually happening to us, and we don't want to see a doctor and we don't want to get tested. And by the time we do get the tests that lead us to believe now, yes, we have Alzheimer's disease, this disease has been kicking around in our brain for 10 years or more. And that's why some people are like, well, how long do I have? And the consensus is that Alzheimer's can really progress over a period of 20 years. So maybe that person, depending on their medical status, depending on what's going on, maybe they have another 10 years. Nobody knows. There's no guarantee. There's no crystal ball to say you have 4 years to live. We know better with cancers. Doctors can predict more with like a cancer of how many months, how many years. The progression of Alzheimer's is very different than that. There's the third way of developing Alzheimer's, and that's a familial gene. So people may, this may run in a family, and that wipes out 50% of the family. And those symptoms start in someone's 20s. So,
Oh, really?
they can be from the onset of disease till death can, you know, be very rapid, very, very rapid. So the, go ahead,
Oh, I was
sorry.
going to say, what kind of symptoms would you see in a 20-year-old? Just
Same
forgetfulness?
symptoms as you would see with an older person with dementia. It's just more rapid. So we are going to see memory loss, poor judgment, poor insight, loss of the ability to take care of our ADLs, our dressing, bathing, grooming, toileting, eating. I try to explain these brain diseases as the brain tells our body what to do. It tells our body how to chew, how to swallow, how to breathe, how to move, how to pick up things. And then the brain is deteriorating, it's dying. And so the brain loses the ability to tell our body how to function.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, your brain is deteriorating, and it actually tells us how to do everything so naturally as it goes. So that's, I see. Whoa, what, that's perfect. That really just put it all together. Because I did feel a disconnect, like, how does this all work? But that just made it perfectly clear.
And there's those different types of neurocognitive diseases. So you have Alzheimer's as the big red flag one. That's the one everybody's heard of. That's the one everybody knows, but it is the most prevalent. But then the second most common is vascular. And vascular is completely different than Alzheimer's in the sense that it's not genetic. vascular dementia comes from medical conditions. It comes from that lack of blood flow to the brain. So you end up with a stroke, heart disease, diabetes, any of those that affects the blood flow to the brain. You end up with killing the brain cells because there's not enough oxygen, blood flow. And that progresses differently. So somebody can have a major stroke and have all these cognitive impairment, cognitive meaning your brain and your functioning, your thinking, your ability to do things. And that's where the deficits are happening, but in a very staggered way. It's like with people who've had strokes, they're more at risk of having other strokes. So they're going to deteriorate at a different rate of time. It is fatal. It is progressive. All of these. There's the frontotemporal lobe. There's Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's. So those are the diseases that over time will kill the person.
Gosh. Now, so what should one do if they're suspicious of a loved one of having dementia? What do you recommend?
The first thing is to try and bring it up to the primary care physician because the primary care physician should be doing things like blood work, labs that might tell them that the person has a deficiency. Is there anything going on? Finding out if there's any underlying infections. The primary care physician should be making a referral to a neurologist, a neurologist that specializes in dementia and does neurocognitive diseases, because not all neurologists deal with dementia disease. And it's really important. They could, you know, if someone was concerned, I always recommend contacting the Alzheimer's Association. The Alzheimer's Association actually has resources. So for like diagnostic clinics, you might want to just go to a diagnostic clinic, which does more than the one-off neurologist that specializes. Because if you truly have Alzheimer's, there's going to be this group of physicians, a group of providers that you're going to need to put on your team, which is the neurologist, maybe a geriatric psychiatrist, you know.
Now, what is the impact on a loved one that's taking care of a family member or a loved one with dementia?
Caregiving is the hardest job ever. And it's the longest job ever.
Longest and hardest.
Yeah. And you know, there's a very high statistic of caregiver spouses, life partners who predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's disease because the job takes a toll emotionally, physically. There's this grieving, this constant state of grieving, and they need a lot of support.
Is that because does the grieving come in because you're slowly watching the person that you knew and love disappear from you, just change in front of your own eyes?
Yeah, it's this, they call it a paradoxical disconnection, where I know that I'm losing the person the way they used to be. It's this receding of the known self, it's called. And I know my love, my partner, my spouse in a certain way, and over time, you lose who that person was, but you haven't lost the person because they're physically there,
So hard,
right?
So hard.
So hard, especially like things like frontotemporal dementia, where the person is affected young, like 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're acting in very bizarre ways. And so yeah, it's this slow, and then the anticipatory grief. So the per like the caregiver's perspective, they see, say it's a spouse, they see the person not remembering things, not remembering experiences, eventually not remembering you, the caregiver, not
How difficult.
remembering, not remembering that you're married to that person. The mother who recognizes only that they had a daughter, but as now recognizes, thinks a baby doll is that daughter.
Oh, really?
Like my grandmother, I would go see her in the nursing home with my son, and my son was about five, and she, my grandmother, would call my son Donnie. Donnie is my grandmother's son, my uncle.
Oh,
And
okay.
she didn't know who Michael was. She didn't know Michael was her grandson.
Right.
And so the families are hugely affected by this.
And I would imagine too, the person with dementia can get frustrated at times and may and lash out, be angry. We've talked about is it sundown? Sundowning?
Yeah, they get more
Sundowning.
confused at the end of the day. Yeah.
And so I would imagine for the caretaker, not only are you going through the stages of grief or just grieving for the loss of the person that you once knew, but then this person is also going to turn around and be angry and lash out. And so there's that whole other aspect. I think in one of your videos that I've watched, you said don't disagree with them. If they think, if your mother thinks that she's on a beach in Bahamas, then let her be there. Don't try to bring her back. No, you're home and it's, you're not there. Don't do that. Don't argue with them. Let them believe what they believe. And I think that was really for some of my students. I don't know if we talked about it, but it was kind of an awakening, because I think the caretaker, wants it to be the way it used to be. You are home, you are with me. You're not that person who's on the beach. So there's just so many dynamics I think that a caretaker must go through, and other family members as well. I don't want to never, I don't want my mother to ever not know who I am. And I don't
Right.
ever want her to be someone else either. So a good friend of mine whose mother had to go into a facility with, I'm not sure if she had Alzheimer's or dementia. And and I remember her saying to me, I've lost my mother, but she's still here. And so when the time came, when she did pass, it wasn't as, it wasn't so severe, like it would be if your mother just passed from a heart disease or whatever. I felt so bad for her. I really did. And I but the words still, they stay with me. And she said them to me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I remember her telling me when she went to the facility and saw her mother laughing and talking with other people and singing and doing creative things at the facility, how happy she was that her mother was happy. So there's just, but there's got to be so many emotions that, you go through.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that differs from other grieving. And it's called compounded losses. So, and there's no time to grieve the loss before, boom, another loss hits. So, the person who's grieving that their mother can't remember something, can't remember something very important that happened in the daughter's life. Then there's boom, the mother can't drive anymore. Then there's boom, the mother can't safely be left alone anymore. And then it's boom, my mom can't say what she's thinking anymore. You know,
So
she
that's
can't.
the compounding
It,
piece.
yeah, it just keeps compounding. And I think that's what makes it very difficult. And it does make it difficult for any family member to jump into the reality of that person who has dementia, because I've heard it all the time, you know, when, you know, at the end of the day, they might be asking to go home, yet to the caregiver, they are home. What are they talking about? And it's this deep feeling of not being safe, not feeling comfort, wanting to find familiarity and feel that safety and security that leads them to ask to go home.
I
They're
see.
in fear. They might ask for their mother at the end of the day, and yet the person's 85, and you know that their mother is long gone. Yet when they ask for their mother, their husband might say, "What are you talking
Yeah,
about?
right. That's so
Your
mean.
mother died, you know, and you're asking for her. You know." So that thought of when we are normal, present, and what's true to us is your mother died. And I'm going to convince you that you're delusional and you need to be in my reality. So I'm going to tell you your mother died. And people don't do this to hurt the other person. They just don't understand. They don't grasp what the consequence is of telling that person that their mother's dead. You know, it throws that person in a state of grief. And a lot of my consulting and coaching and support has been around, how do I engage with my loved one who has Alzheimer's? Really, really hard.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and now multiple senior centers offer the Coffee for Caretakers program, so that they're able to come in and be with other caretakers and share their stories and get support and learn things like this, you know, learn tips, I would imagine. I haven't
One
been
of
to one.
the biggest things that caregivers can do for themselves is get connected to other caregivers. And you can do that through support groups. You can do that through what's called memory cafes.
Oh, memory cafes. Yep, that's the
Yep.
word I was looking for. Yep. Okay, memory cafe.
Support groups, memory cafes, there's in-person support groups, virtual support groups. The number one thing you can do for your loved one who has dementia is to get them socialized. Like day programs, I started that Pleasantries, that day program, the social model day program, it now operates as Better Day in Marlboro, and there's a plethora of options out there. There's the Better Day in Marlboro, there's Elder Well in Natick. Senior centers have specific specialized memory care programs, like Daybreak. Daybreak is another program that's been happening in Northborough, Hudson, and Marlboro at their senior centers.
And that's for
Franklin's,
caretakers.
isn't doesn't
That's
Franklin's senior center have? No, for the person with dementia, not the caretaker. These are so important
And
for.
did they include like physical exercise, creative opportunities, that type of thing, like music therapy,
All the things,
all
all the things
the
that engage that person. I think what people don't understand is the person changes with dementia to a point where you don't think they're going to participate. Oh, my husband, he was in finance all his life. He's not going to do any of this. And it is truly amazing the morphing of what happens. I mean, I used to have people come to my day program 5 days a week. And on Saturday, they were like up and ready to go to day program. And some of them called it school. Some of them called it the club. Some of them thought they were going to work.
Oh, okay.
But the engagement, socialization and engagement is actually the number one treatment for any dementia process.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? I mean, I almost feel like sometimes the words are interchangeable, but they're really not, are they?
No, because it's like needing insulin when you're diagnosed with diabetes. You are, the symptom of diabetes is that your pancreas isn't working anymore to process the insulin, and you can't, you know, you can go into, you know, when your body's like reacting to a low level of sugar, high level of sugar. So when you have Alzheimer's, you have the symptoms of dementia. When you have vascular disease, dementia, you have the symptoms of dementia.
Okay.
When, like with Parkinson's, people with Parkinson's, there's a small percentage who don't develop dementia.
Oh.
The higher percentage of people with Parkinson's will get Parkinson's dementia. If someone has Lewy body dementia, the symptoms are dementia. They're different. Like, so the difference, I want people to think that Alzheimer's is the disease that's causing the dementia.
Okay. Okay. Perfectly said.
That helps.
It does. It does. But,
so
but
a lot of people get confused. A lot of people don't understand that.
And I'm one of them. Yeah. I use, you know, you just use the words interchangeable. So thank you for clarifying that. Now, before we go, I want, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit or a lot about you being the outpatient community liaison at Westboro Behavioral Hospital. I know that's important to you.
You know, I've owned my businesses. I still have my consulting and training business, Alternatives in Alzheimer's Care, and the pandemic hit. And my husband and I kind of changed roles. He now does contract work, works from home. And I have the full-time job as the outpatient community liaison at Westboro Behavioral Healthcare Hospital. And my job is to educate people on what they have for mental health. And, you know, this is, it's so interchangeable because if you think about it, caregivers struggle with mental health issues, with, the stress and the trauma and the depression and the anxiety and all those things. So just to a little bit about Westboro, it's inpatient and outpatient mental health services and programs. So we have taking shape is specifically for adolescents.
Oh, okay.
We have Taking Flight specifically for our young adults, ages 13 to 20, I'm sorry, 18 to 25. The adolescence is 13 to 17.
Okay.
Young adult, 18 to 25. And then we have our adult group. And our adult group starts at, and that's our Taking Care program, starts at age 26. But we have people plenty older, Because we also have what's called the Taking Hold program, and that focuses on anyone 18 and over that suffers from substance use,
Oh, okay.
things like alcoholism.
Yeah.
And it's really focused on recovery and prevention of relapse. And all our, we also have a first responder program.
Oh,
And first
great.
responders, your police, your fire, your EMS, military, you are seeing trauma. You're experiencing it. But along with trauma, everyone's dealing with anxiety, the stressors we have with relationships, with money, with, all the being a caregiver of someone who has dementia alone is going to be very difficult for people. So, what these programs bring is that the person can go and participate in group psychotherapy, group psychoeducation, learning all the skills and tools and coping. If they need medication, getting the right medication, getting a psychiatry appointment. But, and then also on top of all this psychoeducation and psychotherapy, there's trauma-sensitive yoga instruction,
Oh,
there's meditation.
alternatives.
We have a needs-trained assistance dog named
Oh,
Gilbert, who's with us full time.
lovely.
So there's, mental health, we need to talk about it. We need to, Westboro Behavioral actually partners with the Jason Foundation, which is a foundation specializing to bring awareness to youth suicide.
Oh, okay.
So my passion is just to get the information out there, is
Right,
to
right.
really let people know they're not alone. That's why I mentioned the Alzheimer's Association and the resources, because there are a lot of resources for people to turn to when life is just too difficult.
And life has been difficult. We, coming out of a pandemic, we see, mental health issues have, have exasperated. It's just, it's too bad, but it's wonderful that we have places like the Westboro Behavioral Health Hospital.
If you think about like the sandwich generation, which is the people, like you can have a family where maybe one member is taking care of their mother, their older adult mother. Yet she has teenagers, and she might have a teenager in crisis.
Right.
And so there's so much that needs to be addressed within a family system. And they just got to pick up the phone. They just have to reach out and not
But if
think
they,
that they're alone.
right, and that's where the resources come. They have to know that that's available. And and as you're talking, I'm thinking all, everything that you just said, right, leads to lifestyle, right? And if we get help earlier, and not use drugs and not use alcohol and change our lifestyles and be healthier, then we can reduce our risk factors for dementia,
Yeah, I mean, drinking, drugs, smoking, all of that increases our risk of developing dementia.
Does. It's crazy. Well, I can't even thank you enough. This 45 minutes have gone by just like it did in class, just a blink of my eye. I could talk to you about this all day long. It's just
Yeah.
so it's sad, but it's so interesting. And you just have so much knowledge. It's just been wonderful.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. And I think that's about it. We're going to wrap it up. We will have the Alzheimer's Association link on this podcast, on the notes, the show notes, along with the Westboro Behavioral Health Hospital. We'll have a link and the senior center programs for people with dementia. and the caretaker. So we'll have all of those links, so more resources for our community. And again, thank you so much. I just appreciate this time with you. So to our listeners, check the show notes on our Franklin Health Department website. And thank you for listening today. And thank you again, Tammy. This has been a great conversation. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.